Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. That's right, the end of the week is here. Can you believe that? Already it's Friday. I gotta be real with you guys though, when you're staying in the house 24/7, these days just kind of just get confusing, right? They all jumble together. It's hard to tell and hard to feel like Friday is different from Wednesday or Monday or Tuesday, right? I mean, they all just go together at this point as we all are hopefully staying home, staying safe, staying smart, all right? And I look out to my window to my right here, and it is snowing in April. It is April 17th, 2020, and the white stuff is coming from the clouds. And it's like a It's like that heavy stuff too, man. The slick stuff. Because it's mixed with rain. So there's like a snow-rain mix happening right now. And it's April 17th. Looking at the positive side of things, I mean, it is supposed to get nicer when we hit the weekend officially. You know, starting tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday, temps will be in the 50s, it looks. But I tell you, Michigan, just please give us a break. Give us a break, man. All right, so I hope you're staying inside and staying warm along with staying safe. On today's Current Sports, we plan on sending you all into the weekend with some really interesting topics here. Later on this hour, I am going to express my excitement about what's premiering on Sunday night on ESPN. It is the 10-part docuseries entitled The Last Dance, profiling the GOAT, the greatest of all time, Michael Jeffrey Jordan, and his team in the 90s, that dynasty, the dynasty that was the Chicago Bulls, as Jordan and the team gave a film crew unlimited access to the team during that sixth and final NBA championship run. It's got a lot of people buzzing. I saw Michael Jordan doing an interview with Robin Roberts on Good Morning America 2 days ago. This morning, a 5-minute sneak peek was released by ESPN, and I'm just, you guys know, I'm already the biggest Michael Jordan fan you'll ever meet. But just watching that 5-minute clip just has me like, okay, can you just give it to me now? Just give it to me now. Just release the whole thing right now. I will be treating that like a sporting event because right now sports aren't taking place. There's only so many replays I can watch. I'm looking for something fresh. And even though we are looking back in sports history here, this is still a fresh docuseries that we've never seen before with unseen footage, with unheard stories. I can't wait for it. So I'm gonna elaborate more on the docuseries later on this hour. I'm also going to address what Michael had to say to the public concerning this docuseries and how he believes he will be painted in this docuseries after everyone watches it. And he's a bit nervous about it. I'll explain, all right? And I also want to comment on where sports go from here, because it's becoming more and more realistic now as we move along in the coronavirus pandemic. It's becoming more and more realistic that we will see sports change for the foreseeable future. We could see sports back on the courts, back on the fields soon, but there are going to be some major changes. And I'll just comb through a bit of how we as fans have to approach this. All right? And also, I'll touch on briefly the WNBA draft being tonight and the possibility of WNBA draft hopeful Taryn McCutchen of East Lansing, who balled out and set records under Susie Merchant and the Michigan State women's basketball team. What are the chances that Taryn McCutchen hears her name called virtually tonight at 7 o'clock? So we'll dive into that as well. If you would like to be a part of the hour, you guys know multiple ways in which you can weigh in. You can't call in, but you can still text us at 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can comment right there on our Facebook page, and you can tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Okay, and you know what? I failed to mention that you guys can also email me. Email me at Al Martin, WKAR.org, Al Martin at WKAR.org, and you can weigh in that way as well. Let's start with Michigan State women's basketball, as Michigan State head women's basketball coach Susie Merchant has announced the addition of Matilda Eck to the 2020-2021 roster. Eck is a 6-foot guard slash forward who hails from Sweden. She has a wealth of international experience, having played for Luleå Basket for coach Robin Sandberg. In 2019-2020, Eck played with the Swedish First League, and despite the shortened season, she was still named Rookie of the Year. Very talented player here. During the 2018-2019 season, Eck won the U19 Swedish Championship with her high school team, and that was under coach Mikaela Johansson. She was also named MVP and earned a spot on the All-Star team. Also during the 2018-19 campaign, Eck was captain of the U18 Swedish national team that finished fourth in the U18 European Championship B Division. She also captured the B Division of the U16 European Championship during the 2017-18 season, taking MVP honors. So this is a very talented, young, budding star who has decided to play for Susie Merchant and the MSU women's basketball team. And as I mentioned, also, again, Taryn McCutchen is hoping to hear her name called tonight for the WNBA draft, as she is trying to make that dream come true. It has been an absolute honor and a privilege covering Taryn McCutchen throughout her years as a Michigan State women's basketball player. And, you know, she's 22 years old. Of course, the disruption of the coronavirus pandemic has thrown things off a bit, but you can't deny what the four-year starter brought to Susie Merchant's team and all of the records she set. So I'll give you my thoughts and predictions on whether or not we will hear Taryn McCutchen's name called tonight. What's the likelihood of that? And I'll briefly touch on how the WNBA draft will be conducted tonight. All right? All right. And the commits just keep on rolling in for Mel Tucker and the Michigan State football program, On Wednesday, the Spartans landed 6'4", 320-pound, three-star defensive tackle Derek Harmon, who is a junior out of Detroit Loyola. He announced his commitment to the Spartans via Twitter, giving Michigan State four commits in 8 days for the 2021 recruiting class. This is what Harmon had to say on Twitter. Quote, "I want to thank God for giving me this opportunity to play at the next level. Next, I want to thank my mom for everything, every step of the way, and teaching me how to be a good young man. With that, I've committed to Michigan State University." The three-star player is rated the number 59th defensive tackle nationally and the 31st overall player in Michigan, according to 247 Sports. Harmon is also rated three-star on Rivals. So Derek Harmon commits to Michigan State football under the leadership of Mel Tucker. And I tell you what, you got to give a lot of props to Mel Tucker and the Michigan State football staff right now, all known to be great recruiters, doing this while at home, utilizing technology, hitting up players via FaceTime, hitting up players, of course, on the cell phone, and just being actively involved in these players' lives, in these prospect lives, even though we're going through what we're going through. So props to Mel Tucker and the staff as they continue to do work on the recruiting trail. Okay, former Michigan State football player Brian Allen, who is now a center for the LA Rams, he tested positive for the coronavirus. The Rams posted on Twitter that Allen is feeling good, he's healthy, and is on the road to recovery. But Allen, who is 24 years old, he becomes the first active National Football League player to publicly disclose his positive test for COVID-19. Now, the news was first reported by Jay Glazer of Fox Sports, who spoke to Brian Allen. Glazer said Allen told him that he tested positive for the virus 3 weeks ago and then again early last week. So Brian Allen testing positive. We wish him well in his recovery of the coronavirus. Also want to note that Denver Broncos Pro Bowl linebacker Von Miller has also tested positive for the coronavirus. He told 9 News in Denver yesterday, quote, "It's true. I've just been here in the crib and I started to get a little cough. You know, I have asthma and I started getting a little cough a couple of days ago. My girlfriend, she told me when I was asleep, she said my cough, it didn't sound normal," end quote. So in a statement, the Broncos said Miller went public with his diagnosis to emphasize that anyone can be afflicted with the virus, and he remains under the care of the team's doctors. So wishing Von Miller well on his road to recovery of the coronavirus as well. And, you know, I can relate to Von Miller because I also suffer from asthma, got it from my pops, didn't really become a factor in my life until I got to college. And then decided to return home. I've always been around dogs my whole life, and it's never really bothered me. But, you know, when I went to college, I was away from home, away from pets. And I guess my whatever immunity I had got worse. And I remember that, you know, I think it was like my freshman year that summer when I went home and I was around dogs at home. I started just having trouble breathing, and you know, I was diagnosed with asthma then, and it's been, you know, I love dogs. I can't stay away from them. I have a dog that's sitting right next to me right now, actually, my little Morky over here named Jabale. And, you know, I take medication every day to keep my asthma in check because I want to have her in my life, my dog. So, you know, I can relate with Vine because when I heard that, you know, the coronavirus really affects the lungs and affects how you breathe, and those with underlying health conditions like asthma, those who are asthmatic, really have to take extra precautions. I've been taking the extra precautions to make sure I don't catch this thing, because if I do, man, it will be really rough on me because of my asthma. So I can totally relate to Von Miller here, and I'm wishing him wishing him well on his road to recovery, and everybody that's going through this that have been diagnosed with the coronavirus, that know a loved one that has been diagnosed with coronavirus. It's impacting us all right now, and I'm just praying for all of you guys out there, okay? Okay, to less important matters, the University of Michigan announced it will offer season ticket holders a full refund if the college football season is effectively canceled due to the coronavirus crisis. The University of Michigan sent an email to season ticket holders that said if the season were to be canceled, they have three options: a full refund, transferring the payment to the 2020-2021 season, or I should say the 2021 season, or turning the payment into a tax-deductible athletic donation. So you got three options there: a full refund, you can transfer the payment over to the following season in 2021, or you can turn the payment into a tax-deductible athletic donation. This is what the email said, quote, "As the pandemic and global response continue to evolve, we remain committed to providing flexible options as it relates to season tickets in the sports of football, ice hockey, and basketball." So we'll just have to wait and see. You know, I brought to you the story of how many college football analysts out there will be completely surprised. They have gone on record to say that they will be completely surprised if we have college football this fall. And I know that turns your stomach, right? You don't want to hear that as a sports fan. But that's just the reality of where we are right now. You know, Kirk Herbstreit, one of the faces of college football broadcasting, you know, he went on the record to say that, yeah, I will be completely surprised. It will shock me if we have college football this fall. So that's where we're at right now. And I'm pretty sure we'll see many programs like Michigan doing what Michigan is doing and offering options to those who have season tickets. Okay, speaking of Michigan athletics, former Michigan basketball commit Isaiah Todd, he is one step closer to realizing his dreams of playing basketball in the National Basketball Association. Todd, who announced on Tuesday, you know, we had a whole segment on this earlier this week, who announced on Tuesday that he will forego his collegiate career to pursue professional basketball. Well, he will reportedly now sign an NBA G League deal. That's according to The Athletic. Todd will reportedly play for a new G League team in LA that will, quote, focus on development and preparation for the NBA. Alongside fellow five-star prospect Jalen Green, who announced yesterday that he will also skip college basketball and play in the G League. I'm telling you, folks, this is going to become a thing when it comes to top high school basketball prospects who want to make that NBA dream come true. If the NCAA doesn't do something soon and allow collegiate athletes soon to profit off of their names and likeness, the NBA G League and professional basketball overseas is going to take advantage of this. And top high school talent is going to start looking at things different. They're going to start looking at the collegiate game and saying, I don't need this. I can get paid right off rip and develop while doing so. So, yeah, Isaiah Todd heading to the G League. All right, and speaking of the National Basketball Association and the Women's National Basketball Association, better known as the WNBA, as professional basketball remains on hold during this this pandemic we're all going through, fans can now support, though, their favorite teams in style while staying safe at the same time, as the NBA and the WNBA have teamed up with Fanatics to launch cloth face coverings featuring all 30 NBA and 12 WNBA team logos available on the league's apparel websites. All of the proceeds will benefit hunger relief organizations, Feeding America in the United States and Second Harvest out in Canada, for communities affected by the spread of COVID-19. Now, the face coverings are available in adult and youth sizes, as well as in packs of three or individually. but aren't intended to replace other precautionary measures such as hand washing and social distancing. So the NBA and the WNBA effectively partnering up here to provide masks to the public that don logos of your favorite teams. I love this idea. We all know that the CDC is recommending now that we all wear masks while out in public to be safer as we go through the coronavirus pandemic. And, you know, this is a great way to raise some funds for some great charitable organizations. So I may be purchasing a Detroit Pistons one. Love this idea. And the WNBA draft is tonight. The WNBA draft in 2020 presented by State Farm will be held tonight as scheduled. In light of the COVID-19 pandemic, the WNBA will conduct a virtual draft without players, guests, and media. WNBA commish Kathy Engelbert will announce the draft picks live on ESPN with coverage beginning at 7 p.m. and top prospects will take part remotely. The draft will also be available on the ESPN app. During the draft, the WNBA will honor also Alyssa Altobelli, Gianna Bryant, and Peyton Chester, who tragically passed away in that helicopter accident in late January. It also took the life of the late, great Kobe Bryant. The WNBA will honor the late Kobe, who was a passionate advocate of the league. They will honor him tonight at the draft and during the upcoming season. Okay, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, multiple ways in which you can weigh in. I mentioned how you can email me at almartin@wkar.org. That's almartin@wkar.org. You can also weigh in at Facebook by simply just commenting somewhere on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. And of course, you can now text us 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Text that number, and you can also weigh in on the show. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, I'll tell you how we could see sports come back at some point this year, but it's going to be a bit different, and how we all may have to adjust the way in which we watch sports. And I'll also touch on the WNBA draft tonight. Also, the Last Dance Michael Jordan documentary is also on the docket for today's show. That and more. You are listening to the Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And, you know, I just want to touch on right now the possibility of sports all coming back in our respective lives, because, you know, the talk is really ramping up right now as to when sports will come back and how that will look, how different that will look in our lives. You know, that's been the big question. You know, every day I address you all here on WKAR's Current Sports, the big elephant in the room is Al. When will we see sports come back on our televisions? Some have even asked, Al, when will sports come back in our lives to the point where we can buy tickets and actually attend a sporting event? Now, the answer to that question, I think, is going to be a long time. It's going to be a while. You know, I was watching the national news last night. You know, I don't try to sit on my couch or hop on my smartphone and completely immerse myself with what is happening with the coronavirus pandemic like I used to, because I tell you what, a couple of weeks ago, man, I would just sit there for what felt like hours. And I would watch all of these national news broadcasts, local and national, actually, centered on the coronavirus pandemic, because we had never seen anything like it. And I'm trying to broaden my knowledge when it comes to it. You know, how should I be handling it as a citizen? What can I do to stay safe? All of that stuff. But I tell you what, after a while, you know, there's only so much a human being can take when it comes to this news and immersing yourself in it before you start feeling very down and out. I mean, heck, we're already right now staying inside, isolated from the world. And then just to watch over and over and over, hours upon hours, all of the dark coverage centered on the pandemic, it does something to your mood. I don't know if you're like me, but it does something to your mood. And I started finding myself just feeling a bit down. You know, that's why I really had to focus on other distractions like reading and playing video games and talking to the family and that kind of stuff, just to stay away from it for a bit. So now I've limited my news intake to probably, what, like 30 minutes out the day, where I'm watching maybe one broadcast and getting the information that I need in order to continue to stay safe and stay informed. And then after that, man, I'm shutting it off. I'm shutting it down. But as I did that last night, you know, a part of my 30 minutes was watching a national news broadcast last night. And they were talking about, they had a whole 5-minute segment centered on the sporting world coming back in our lives, but just how different that will look like. And it's something I've addressed before, many times actually during this pandemic, because that, again, that is the big elephant in the room. When will sports come back? And right now, sports leagues do face a large but not insurmountable obstacle to getting back on TV, at least. Because that's what really was broken down in that segment last night, giving sports fans like me and you just a slither of hope during this time. So I say all that to say this. We still may not see the majority of sports in our lives. We may not see those sports until 2021. Just got to be real with you guys. Now, I know the PGA Tour, and golf's a little different because you're outdoors, and, you know, golf is a sport where, yeah, you rely on the gallery for, like, the major PGA Tour events, and it's always great having the gallery there. You know, nothing like having fans line the fairways, especially on that Sunday. But it can be played individually without fans having a major impact. I mean, heck, when you're hitting a golf ball, you got to be quiet anyway. Now, we will lose when those big-time shots roll in. We'll lose the reaction of the fans going wild, right? But golf is a quiet sport. When you're out there, I mean, you literally have employees out there lining the course with quiet signs. You got to be silent. So, you know, when it comes to television viewing of golf, which, you know, golf plans on resuming, you know, come June, July. I believe actually July is when we will see, you know, that's when the PGA Tour is set to announce. June restart. I'm looking here now on Golf Digest. The PGA Tour will announce a June restart to the 2020 season. I had July on my mind because that's when the Rocket Mortgage Classic will come to the Metro Detroit area again. And is scheduled to play actually through the July 4th holiday. So, you know, we'll see golf come back. But, you know, sports like, you know, as I mentioned, like college football, college basketball, the NBA, the NFL, the NHL, it's going to be some time. I do believe 2021 is what I've been reading, and I think that's the more realistic option. There are still just a lot of hurdles we have to go through. And when they do return, we won't see fans in the stands. You know, I mentioned during our headliners how the University of Michigan right now is offering refunds to season ticket holders out there if we don't have a college football season, which is a very realistic possibility. And when it does return, because we're still not out of the woods yet when it comes to the coronavirus pandemic, deaths are still happening every single day. And we all know how major this is in the state of Michigan. Some would argue otherwise. Don't get me started on what we saw at the Capitol earlier this week. That's neither here nor there. This thing is still serious, okay? And normal, just how do we define normal after this? That's the big question on the minds of all of us, right? There is going to be a new normal. We are going to see people walking around, even when travel bans are lifted, when at-home orders are lifted, we're going to see people walking around with masks on still, because I don't know about you, but I know about me. Even when this whole thing is lifted, I'm still going to be extra cautious being in large crowds and gatherings, because it's not like a light switch where you just say, all right, now we're out of the weeds. We can go back to our regularly scheduled programming. No, that's not how it's going to happen here. And when it comes to sports, because we all know, fans attending games, attending events, it's part of what we love about sports. There's nothing like hearing the crowd go wild on a buzzer beater or on a big play that leads to a touchdown or a major slam dunk. I mean, there's nothing like that. I mean, can you imagine watching a football game is just silent? Watching a college basketball game, no fans there, no sound of the band in the background. Can you imagine the Izzone just not being there and not hearing some chant from the Izzone heckling the opposing player? It's going to be different for a while. And fans do impact, say what you will, but fans do impact a game. It's why we talk about home court advantage. It's why when talking about college hoops, we mention how it's tough to play in certain environments. That's all due to the crowd. And not to mention, too, this is also a concern. And I think television broadcasts are going to have to alter some things here and maybe have to pump in some crowd noise via the speakers, because we all know it's sports. It can get very heated. A quiet court or field, if you have audio down there, it can pick up a lot of things. A lot of things that aren't, how should I say, that aren't FCC compliant, if you will. Yeah, we all know how sports competition is. There's going to have to be some changes there. Our new normal is going to take some time to adjust. And off rip, I don't know if we can have fans sitting next to each other going wild once sports does return. We just can't. It's too risky right now. I mentioned Brian Allen becoming former, you know, that hits really, really home, right? For us here in East Lansing. Brian Allen, former Michigan State football great. First NFL player with the virus. Or at least to come out and say he has the virus. Von Miller says he has the virus. I'm pretty sure there are other NFL players out there. Pretty good bet. It's still going to take some time. And we've still got some ways to go. You know, President Donald Trump, you know, he made a personal plea. Quote, "We have to get our sports back. I'm tired of watching baseball games that are 14 years old." Trump said that he was assembling a panel of experts, including the commissioners of every major league in the country, to figure out a way for games to return to stadiums around the country. Both Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York and Dr. Anthony Fauci, the federal government's leading expert on infectious diseases. I've really enjoyed watching Dr. Fauci be one of the leaders leading us through and keeping us informed as to how to deal with the coronavirus. Both Governor Cuomo and Dr. Fauci expressed support this week for the idea of staging games without spectators in the stands. But just how realistic is it that we will see sports again this year? What does that entail? Well, like I said, when it does return, when sports do return, you won't see fans in the stands. That's going to be weird. You got to get used to that. Games could be played without fans and just be broadcast on television. But in order for athletes to feel okay, again, we are still not where we need to be when it comes to testing here in the United States of America. We're just not. We don't have tests right on hand. If you think you got the coronavirus and you want to test, there are still hurdles you got to go through. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day who thought that he had it. Excuse me. And he lives out in New York. And, you know, he went up to like one of those like they have like drive-in stations now, as many of you know, where you drive up. And then a guy with like a beekeeper outfit comes out, you know, all this protection on, right? And asks for identification. And then, you know, like he told me like the waiting room was like in the driveway of this area. And there was like a chair. And then 6 feet away from that chair was another chair. And then 6 feet away from that chair was another chair. And long story short, you know, Doc comes in and they stick the testing stick up his nose, and you know, then the doc, like the actual doctor, he didn't even get to see the doctor firsthand. The doc was via a video call on an iPad. And he tells you that, okay, well, you know, they go through the symptoms and whatnot. And then even then, they couldn't tell him his results right off rip. They had to, they told his primary care physician the results and then told him. He was negative, thank goodness. But even then, you know, he couldn't know until like, and that was like a day or two after. And when this thing first started, you know, people weren't getting results until like a week later. So, and we're just still behind the ball when it comes to everybody getting a test that feel like they may have the coronavirus, the turnaround for the results of that. So how can we feel okay about asking hundreds of athletes around the country to get together and play sports? I mean, if one of them has it, this thing is so highly contagious, it can spread at the snap of a finger. When you're out there and breathing on each other and sweat and you're all touching the same ball, I mean, all that for our entertainment, there's got to be some guidelines here. And we still have some strides to make when it comes to effective testing, efficient testing for all. There's still some hurdles here. That's why it may take long. I mean, we're all saying, yeah, it sounds easy, right? Just test everybody. All the athletes who don't have it can play out there. Cool. But then it's about location. I mean, you don't want to have these events all scattered across the country. You got to have one central location so that you're not causing risk to other cities. But if you have it at one central location, you got to house all of these athletes in one location. That becomes a challenge. There are so many challenges here. So, I mean, my goodness. I mean, we're talking about a lot of people here. You know, a professional sports broadcast involves a much bigger gathering than just a group of athletes and coaches. I mean, for example, I was reading that Germany's top soccer league estimated that around 240 people, that's players, team staff, officials, and broadcast staff, would be required for a game, even if it were to be played behind closed doors. 240 people, that's without fans. I mean, could there be a way to establish some type of closed off, virus-free bubble where leagues could play games? Yeah, but it's complicated. Like I stated, there are hurdles here. So could we see sports come back? Yes. How soon? I still think we got some time. And when we do see sports come back, it's going to look a little bit different. We all have to let that marinate on our brains, on our minds, and go from there. Also want to note, the WNBA draft is tonight. It's going to look a little bit different due to the pandemic. 7 p.m., top prospects will take part remotely, video chat, I'm guessing. And I'm rooting for Michigan State's Taryn McCutchen. Because she's awesome. I mean, she's an amazing player. It was certainly a privilege to cover her throughout her entire Michigan State career. I covered Taryn, actually, when she was a senior in high school at East Lansing High School as well, under the great Rob Smith. And, you know, McCutchen, this is a really tough time for so many athletes out there because sports aren't being played. She's 5'5", 36 names will be selected during tonight's three-round draft. And McCutchen, who moved to East Lansing from West Virginia, I mean, her numbers are staggering. She became the Spartans' all-time leader in assists this season, finishing with 582 assists. Joined Kristen Haney as the second player in program history with 1,000 points and 500 dishes. It's amazing. The four-year starter also earned all Big Ten second-team honors this year, averaging 10.8 points, 3.7 assists, 3.8 rebounds in 30 games. She committed 60 turnovers while averaging a team-leading 32.8 minutes per game. She's really good. And Haney, she's on the Michigan State women's basketball coaching staff under Susie Merchant. She was the first MSU player to be taken in the first round of the WNBA draft, going in at number 9 to the Sacramento Monarchs back in 05 after leading the Spartans to their only Final Four appearance. McCutchen is hoping to become the 8th player from Michigan State to go to the WNBA draft, and first since Tori Jankowska did so 3 years ago in 2017. She's undersized, but she's so smart. Has such a major IQ. She kind of reminds me of somebody else who I can say the same exact thing about, who plays for the men's basketball team, and that is the great Cassius Winston. Not freakishly athletic, but boy, oh boy, are they smart. Rooting for you, Taryn. We'll recap the WNBA draft and whether or not Taryn makes her WNBA dreams come true, or maybe she plays overseas. That's also an option as well. You know, it's a joy to see WNBA prospects who don't make that WNBA dream come true from Michigan State go overseas and make some cheese that way. You know, I'm constantly following players like Taya Reimer, who's overseas playing ball. Ariel Powers, who's in the WNBA. Let me revise that. Not only in the WNBA, but getting consistent minutes, and is also a WNBA champion who balls overseas in the offseason. See, a lot of WNBA players do that. So that's also an option for Taryn. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll put a bow on this week's current sports with Reflection Friday, and I'll give you thoughts on what we will see Sunday night. The first part of the Last Dance ESPN docu-series centered on Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. As we have just a few minutes left here in the hour, happy Friday to you all. For Reflection Friday, to close out the show, you know, we use this segment to look at the week that was in sports and beyond and bring to you some of our favorite stories and maybe a few stories that we haven't gotten a chance to get to. For me, I got two things. One, if you have not watched, if you're looking to watch something on your tube, you know, we're all, like, streaming everything, right, and trying to find TV shows to pass the time as we're all sheltered in our homes during this pandemic. I've been watching a lot of TV, reading a lot of books, and one of the shows I actually just finished, for sports fans out there, it's called All American. One of the stars in the show is Taye Diggs, also Daniel Ezra, who is a great actor from London, I believe, and it follows a young kid who is a top high school football prospect who's from Inglewood, California, and who goes from the hood in Inglewood to balling out in Beverly Hills for that program. And he struggles with a lot of different things. It's a really good show. Sports fans out there, it's not just about football. It will tug at your heartstrings as well. Two seasons, 16 episodes each, and I just finished it. It's addicting. It's a really good show. Check it out. A little cheesy at times, but it's a solid show, and you know, you really get an insight into what really happens as well during the high school football recruiting world. All right, so check it out if you're looking for something to watch. Also, the second part of my Reflection Friday is The Last Dance. The Last Dance, the highly anticipated docu-series, sports docu-series, centering on Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls of the 90s, in which they gave a film crew unprecedented access in that final championship run in 1997-1998, in which, of course, that season was culminated with Jordan and the Bulls winning championship number 6. I can't wait for it. We'll really get a chance to see firsthand just what drove Michael Jordan, what drove him to be great, how he pushed his team every single day to live up to an expectation that he had built for years. And also, we'll learn some new details into what broke up the Bulls. Why, after 98, was that team dismantled? Why was Phil Jackson out as coach? What led to Michael Jordan leaving the Bulls? We'll get insight into that. Cough, cough, Jerry Krause. And I can't wait to recap it on Monday. I'm going to lead the show with that on Monday. You guys know I'm the biggest Michael Jordan fan out there, and I cannot wait for this documentary. And I'm going to address the comments on Monday about how Michael was a little bit worried that the public may look at him as not a good human being after watching this docuseries, but I want to clarify that a bit on Monday, okay? Until then, though, I really hope you all have a great weekend. Be safe, be smart, and as always, be easy, people.